Welcome to Scribe Session. Here, Inquirer Bengals beat writers Joe Reedy and Paul Daner Jr. escort you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium to hear the news, analysis, and observations unfolding within the team from those documenting it daily, all with the sidecar of sarcasm you've come to expect. Let's go.
Let's get ready to rumble! Feel the fires into the rear!
He'll got it deep downfield for A.J. Green. A.J.'s got it! Touchdown! Bengals! Dalton in the shotgun. Two receivers left, two to the right. Andy straight back to throw. Fires for Gresham in the end zone! Touchdown! Bengals!
Up the middle of the field, look out. Reedy's off to the races.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Scribe Session. I'm Paul Daner Jr. here with you, here along with Joe Reedy. Joe, how are we doing?
Staying hydrated, Paul, for the 96-hour sprint.
We do. We need extra water. We need to take care of it because
screw water, extra Red Bull, yeah. Starbucks coffee, 5-hour energy.
What do you do at Starbucks? Do you go for the vanilla? Do you have vanilla roast? Are you a Pike's Place guy, the standard, or do you probably shoot it up with some espresso?
I am the iced coffee with the double shot of espresso.
Wow, the double shot. It explains a lot. Do you go directly to the Twitters after like taking a double shot of espresso and just go off on 20 questions? Is that how that works? Yeah, we're in the sprint here because obviously we're inside of the little mini bender that is two games in 4 days, basically. With the Jets game now in the books, Bengals 49, New York Jets 9. Certainly didn't think we'd be sitting here saying that score today. And then obviously Bengals at the Dolphins Thursday night. We'll be in Miami in a matter of a day and a half here, Joe.
Yeah, that's true. Going back to South Florida, former stomping grounds.
Yeah, that's true. You've probably got lots of colleagues and such and that you used to run around with down there. Are they all going to be showing up to see Mr. Reedy again? Are we expecting a big gathering?
Hopefully. You never know. I hate to quote Marvin, but we'll see.
Yeah. It should be a fun trip. I'm excited. I'm excited about going down to Miami. We got Fort Lauderdale. The team's staying in Fort Lauderdale, so we'll be up that way. Plenty of good. I'm going seafood. This is a seafood trip if there ever has been one. Well, I'm excited to get down there. We both used to live down that way, so we understand the beauty of the seafood restaurants down there, and we're gonna have to track down something good.
Yeah, it should be fun. I know there was a debate about maybe going stone crabbing, but.
There's a debate.
That's still being sorted out and everything and so forth. And
don't worry. I know all of you out there listening are really on pins and needles to find out where we end up going to eat on Wednesday night. Trust me, we'll recap it with the King of the Road rankings next week when we tell you where we went. I know that you're all really wondering what we go to eat. I'm sure that's really top of everyone's business. Let's recap Bengals Jets a little bit, and actually we don't need to talk about it because we have about a 38 second dramatization thanks to the fine folks at Family Guy of what occurred at Paul Brown Stadium on Sunday.
Stewie, hey
there. So it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
You know what, just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it, sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. That's good OJ.
Ah! Ah!
Yeah, that hurt?
Ah!
That hurt?
What the hell?
Yeah, it feels so good, does it?
Ah!
No, huh?
Oh! Ah!
Yeah,
ah!
That's what happens, man.
Oh my God!
Yeah, that's what happens.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
Where's my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man? Where's the money? Yeah, you like that? That feel good? That feel good? Where's the money, man? Where's my money? You got till 5 o'clock. You hear me? You got till 5 o'clock.
You freaking psychopath!
Clean yourself up.
I just love that. Clean yourself up. The Stewie beatdown is fantastic. We really should have started searching the internets for seal clubbing sounds, because that's really the only way you can describe the epic beat. It was 49-9, and it wasn't even that close. It was just as big of a beatdown as we have seen at that stadium since it's been open.
Yeah, an epic seal beating of the highest order that. And you know, Paul, I don't use the term seal beating lightly.
It takes a
special class of ass kicking to get to yes. Seal beating, and that one definitely was it.
The poor seals. Are we worried about PETA or one of the organizations coming and listening to this and being concerned about the attack on animals that we're using as descriptors?
I'm not.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Well, then we'll continue to call it the seal clubbing. Sorry for all of you environmentalists out there. Yeah, it really was. What I'll tell you, I mean, where I don't know. You start wherever you want to. When you think of this game, what is the first thing that comes to your mind as far as why it happened?
Andy Dalton, probably the most dialed in that I've ever seen him. 5 touchdowns, the offense crisp in the passing game, running game. You would hope that it would be better, but it wasn't. But the last couple of weeks, let's face it, Paul, they haven't needed to run.
They haven't needed to.
Yeah.
Teams have been stacking up to stop the run, and Dalton has been just burning them. I mean, and that's really been the difference. Teams are daring Andy Dalton to beat them over the top, and he's doing it consistently.
Yeah, this is the best 3-game stretch that we've seen him play.
Yeah, and it's not close either.
Do we call this Dalton-tober or something? Or
Daltober?
Daltober or something? Because, I mean, let's face it, the way he's gone right now, there is a real valid argument that he should be the AFC Offensive Player of the Month.
Yeah, I mean, look at his numbers. We you can break it down however you want to. The last 4 games during the winning streak. Look at the last 3 where he's been incredible. I mean, he's hitting about 67% of his passes. He's got 11 touchdowns to 2 picks. I mean, he's 300 yards 3 games in a row now, all over 100 passer rating. And this one was better than the last one. And these aren't garbage defenses. I mean, this is coming against a Jets defense that was 4th in the league coming into this, that had been wrecking people. A Jets team that just beat New England 30-20. I mean, this was no joke. And that was the knock, wasn't it? I mean, wasn't that supposed to be, well, yeah, he's had these great games in the past. He's gone on runs, but it's always been against sloppy defenses, against the top defenses, the Pittsburghs, Houstons in the playoffs, those continually Ravens to get cited over and over again. He hasn't done as well. He's breaking that code. I mean, he's clearly taken the next step, and I think, and you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong here. I thought you may be shocked to hear this. I thought Marvin Lewis said something very interesting in the post game press conference. I know that's rare.
Cue up the C. Trent gif during the Brian Price interview.
Yes. I thought he said something very interesting, which was when Andy Dalton forgets about trying to throw it to 18 and just throws it to where the ball needs to go, everything is fine. He can't worry about how many touches does A.J. Green have. Have I gotten him the ball enough? Because A.J. Green's good enough that those opportunities will be there. And I think what you've seen, and a part of this is a trust in the other guys that's developed, is much more comfortability letting AJ have some games where he doesn't get as many touches because it's the defense dictates it, and he's much more comfortable with that, and it has made this defense, this offense, 10 times more difficult, and really what Jay Gruden has envisioned since the beginning with all of these guys.
I mean, the thing that AJ Green had 115 yards yesterday on 3 catches. That might be the quietest 3-catch, 115-yard game that you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Because of the Marvin Jones explosion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing Marvin didn't do yesterday was sing the national anthem.
He could have
done a damn good job at it.
He'd have been great.
Those of you who've watched Cincinnati.com presents Beyond the Stripes with Paul Daugherty, presented by JosephAuto.com, Would have seen that last week.
Yes, the BT. Which, by the way, we got to discuss the BTS bump. I'm pretty sure that we should have players lining up to be on Beyond the Stripes at this point. If you consider the game that Marvin Jones had the week that he was on, and Chris Crocker coming on this Tuesday on Cincinnati.com Sports Beyond the Stripes, and by JustAlive.com. And he just had a pick six. I mean, we announced Crocker's coming. He gets a pick six. Marvin Jones comes on, four touchdowns. Pretty much, we make you a star. I mean, at this point, the BTS bump is a real thing.
We've reversed trend, Paul, because earlier in the year, our first ever guest
was... We did put Robert Gathers on IR.
Yes.
That's true. We apologize for that.
Yes, we do apologize for that, and... Margus has only played in one game.
Two? No, he played yesterday. Oh, that's his
true.
Second
that's
game.
True. That's
He's
true.
He's played well. Josh Johnson got in
yesterday.
I mean, but no, I mean, honestly, I think you got to think Chris Crocker's going to get at least three interceptions in Miami if he follows the Marvin Jones trend. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's coming. You're right. Marvin Jones went off. I'm glad you said that. We kind of jumped off topic there with that. But it's an opportunity.
But we did have Bengals football talk within the first 10 minutes.
We did. I think we could probably say that we only had about 3 minutes of BS in this one and got into the Bengals football talk. So
then we have traffic and weather coming at the 8th.
Yes, the 8th, exactly. That's coming very soon. We'll have to do our fake helicopter voice where we pat our chest. I'm high above Paul Brown Stadium. I want to bring you, though, we talked to Jay Gruden after the game. And Jay was typically fantastic, discussing Andy Dalton and the run he's been on and why that is and Marvin Jones and everything else that came with it. So here's a little bit of Jay Gruden from after the game on Sunday.
Just Marvin, four touchdowns. I mean, it could have been anybody, but, I mean, he's really shown a lot of growth this year.
Yes, he has, and it's important. You know how important it is when people start to move people over and shoot towards AJ's side. It's important, of course, to have a guy step up like that, and it just so happened to be Marvin's day. You know, Gresham got a touchdown, which we're happy with, but overall, you know, I think the ball was spread around pretty good today, and Marvin was a recipient of four touchdowns, and he benefited, but he also made some great plays. You know, when Andy calls your number, man, you better be ready because you never know when it's going to come back.
As far as do you notice a difference in trust level between Andy and Marvin? I mean, particularly these last 3 weeks.
Yeah, you know, I think we've noticed it, you know, through the end of last year and in training camp, and I think there's never been a lack of trust there. Just lack of production, maybe, but not lack of trust. You know, we're trying to filter in with Taterbug and Mosa New, and Marvin hadn't been a full-time ex, but, you know, I think. Andy has confidence in all his guys. You know, Sanzenbacher, 3rd and 8, first drive of the game. You know, Tyler Eifert didn't get as many balls as they in regression, but I think he feels good with everybody, and that's a great benefit to have as a quarterback when you go back there and you have faith in all your guys. But Marvin definitely stepped up today, and hopefully that'll carry on to the rest of the year.
It can be pretty helpful when the offensive line's giving you all day to pass.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Yeah, that's a big difference, and we said that the last couple of weeks is – you know, the difference is, you know, you talk about Andy and Marv, and but it's not possible without them giving Andy time to see. And then, of course, Kyle Cook and Andy getting us into right protections and handling some of their tough blitzes. So, you know, it's a total team effort. You know, you want to say great job, Marv. You want to say great job, Andy. Great job, offensive line. I think they all did a great job. I mean, there's other than the interception Andy threw in on the screen past the Geo, it was a pretty damn good game by everybody.
I mean, fourth-ranked defense in the league there. I mean, could you foresee something like this against a defense like that?
No. You know, that's a lot of sleepless nights here the last couple of days trying to prepare for that defense. You know, and they'll bounce back. They have a great defensive scheme and good defensive players. They just we just made some plays today and took advantage of some looks. And Marv made some great catches. Like I said, AJ made a couple great long catches. And we just grinded it out, so...
How good is Marv? I mean, are you guys at a point where you might be at 1-1A?
Nah, he's not next to AJ yet, but who knows? You know, he's a young kid, and he's still developing. Yeah. And he plays very, very hard. He's got a bad shoulder. He came in here, didn't practice all week. And I asked him before the game if he was playing. I wasn't even sure if he was playing or not.
Yeah.
You know, Marvin suited him up. Coach Lewis suited him up. So Pat and Go, he looked there in pre-game warm-up. He looked a little shaky. I wasn't sure. I almost told James that, hey, let's – keep an eye on him. He's a little banged up, but I think he's all right.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
How was he on Friday?
he was okay, you know. He was okay, but you could tell he wasn't himself. He was sore. You know, and that's the type of injury. He's going to be sore. He'll be sore probably for Thursday against Miami, but he's a one tough kid, man, and that's what drew us to him on tape, you know, watching him at Cal. Is, you know, most California guys, you think, you know, not this. This guy's a tough kid, man. Tough.
Like I was saying earlier, you know, it's really everything that Jay sort of envisioned with this offense is coming into play. And for that to happen, somebody had to step up and be a scary weapon opposite A.J. Green. It has been – I think we all kind of assumed it would be Mohamed Sanu before the year started, but, you know, Marvin Jones has really kind of stolen that show at this point.
Seems like Mo's struggled, Paul, ever since that opener against Chicago and kind of been in a little bit of a funk since that.
Yeah.
The key fumble. I mean, he's still a good receiver, dependable. Had a couple key receptions in the Buffalo game, but hasn't been that red zone target that we all thought that he would be at this point. And, you know, maybe he gets that back. I mean, look at the first six games. Tight ends, no touchdowns. Been touchdowns the past two games. It's just a matter of, like Jay said, when Andy calls your number, you better be there because you don't know when it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is – the Sanu thing is interesting. And, you know, and the other thing is, and something that our fine friends of the program over at Pro Football Focus pointed out, was Marvin Jones – only ran about, 13 routes yesterday and was targeted on 8 of them, all 8 completed, 4 touchdowns, a ridiculous stat line. I guess the question becomes, is it time that Marvin Jones needs to be getting more snaps over this? Because Mohamed Sanu is still getting about 2-1 to Marvin Jones at this point. Does that need to flip?
Or more 50-50.
Yeah.
I think you kind of see the opponent and everything and how that goes. I think the thing that maybe to me is a little bit interesting is because Sanu's an inside and outside guy, is that we haven't seen maybe more three-receiver sets with Green, Sanu, and Jones than I thought, because you could put Mo in the slot and be pretty good, and it just hasn't happened. I think the thing that shocks us about Marvin Jones also is he was thought to be a straight-down 9 route guy.
Yeah.
And his mastery of the route tree right now, I think it's been the most encouraging and developing thing.
The back shoulder touchdown pass is something that quarterbacks only throw to players they are extremely comfortable with.
And he did it twice on Sunday.
Twice. And I think that was the most telling thing of how Andy Dalton views Marvin Jones. He is looking for him when he is covered to throw that, because that is I'm covered, but the corner isn't looking. As Marvin Jones told us after the game, he said that's just stealing when the corner's looking right at you and not looking at the quarterback, because they can throw that back shoulder all day. But you have to have that kind of comfort level with it. I can't think off the top of my head him throwing and completing back shoulder passes with anybody other than A.J. Green consistently. And certainly not looking for it from anybody other than A.J. Green. I thought that was very telling of the chemistry that's developing between those two. I mean, he's looking for him in the red zone now. He's clearly – and I think a lot of that goes it's as Jay said, it's not that there has not always been a trust between those guys. It's the production helps make that better. But I think when you have a play like the touchdown in Detroit where a guy sells his body out and literally pops his shoulder out of place, attempting to get down for your touchdown and holds on, I think that speaks volumes and does way more than any OTAs or practices or anything can as far as trust of the quarterback.
Well, I think the thing, too, that's impressive about Sunday, Paul, is that even the offensive coordinator and quarterback didn't know if Marvin Jones was going to play.
Yeah.
Because he was shaky during warm-ups and everything. I think it was going down to that 90-minute limit, and it's like, you know what? Kid can go. Kid played the second half on a bum shoulder against Detroit and did pretty well. So, and with the week of rehab and stuff and getting out there on Friday, I think he proved that he could go. And it's just one of those that things keep developing. But when you look at these entire receivers too, there have been very few practices where A.J., Mo, Marvin Jones, and Andrew Hawkins have all been on the field at the same time.
Yep.
And you look back to last year, Mo got the chances early. But by what we mean early is that first Pittsburgh game in that middle of the season when Marvin Jones was supposed to start getting his chances.
Got hurt.
Mo gets on a little run in November, then gets hurt. Marvin comes in off the knee injury and starts getting trust and developing and stuff. So I think it's one of those that the trust is starting to develop a little bit, and it's getting there.
Yeah, it is. Well, because we have it and because he's so darn interesting, and we've had him twice on Cincinnati.com Sports Beyond Stripes presented by JustFollow.com. Here's Marvin Jones talking with us and a few other reporters after the game, after his four touchdown performance, one of the many media interviews. I think he's been on Jim. He was on Jim Rome, SVP in Rosillo. He was on Pro Football Talk Live last week. He was on every show. He was on most shows. He's doing it all, and he's really a star breaking out. But here's some with him after his four touchdown game.
Four touchdowns? You ever done that? High school, college? You ever had a moment like this when you scored four times?
No. I had when I was playing Pop Warner when I was 7 years old and 8 years old. So, but other than that, I've never scored more than two. So it was a great day.
Were you a receiver back then?
I played running back all the way up to my sophomore year in high school. So
you popped in four in Pop Warner in a game?
Yeah, four okay. or five. You know, but I've never had four receiving touchdowns. It was great.
On the third one, did you know you got the second foot down?
Yes, yeah, I knew. And Jermaine helped me out, lobby for me. But I knew I kicked it down. You know,
so. How much are those back shoulder throws, particularly the first two, how much is that about trust and comfortability with Andy? Is that really a feel throw there?
Yeah, it's all about trust, and it's all about feel. And we all do a good job in practice, us and the receivers, you know, getting on board with the back shoulder throws. And it's a hard throw to stop, you know. And when you're in cahoots with, you know, your quarterback doing those things, it's hard. You know, it's hard to get stopped.
How much do you know the back shoulder is going to happen, or is that a planned thing, or is that just based off feel off the coverage?
We know what it is. And it's basically normally when a cornerback's looking dead at you and not the quarterback, you know, it's like stealing right there. So yeah, they're great plays. And
three back shoulders or two back shoulders?
I think two. Yeah.
The last one, was this something where you guys knew? I mean, you threw it to you twice there on a kind of similar mm-hmm. plays, one on the right side, one on the left side. Mm-hmm. Something like let's get Marvin a fourth touchdown or
no, I don't think it was that. He was just looking at the coverage, you know, and the guys were off, and it was just a good throw pertaining to how the coverage was. So it wasn't like, oh, let's get him another one, you know. Yeah, but it was good.
You guys did throw deep a lot. Was that something part of the game plan? You saw they were going to give you opportunities to do that.
I think in every game we want to. It's in the game plan in every game, you know. And we definitely had a lot of opportunity there, and it showed, and we did a good job of capitalizing those and those opportunities.
Did you get a game ball?
No, not yet. But we don't do game balls right after. So,
did you get four?
Yeah.
For the
touchdown? I keep all my touchdown balls. So I'll be taking four home.
So we've established it. I mean, the offense breaks out and looks absolutely scary right now. This is the both offense and defense currently ranked in the top 10 in the league. The last season that happened was 89. But that's the only time in a non-strike year since 75. If the Bengals could finish both in the top 10, they've been in both the top 10 in offense and defense. This team is
just get above 20. That's
right. That to me is
the magic number. The last 5 years they've been 20th or lower. Just get above 20 if you can get, or above 16.
Yeah,
I don't need top 10 this year. Just give me above 20. That to me is the key.
Well, they are playing like a team that's destined to be in the top 10 the rest of the year. You did on the walkthrough Monday morning, projected out season, since we're halfway there, you extrapolated out times two, and Andy Dalton having a season only rivaled in Bengals history by Carson Palmer 2005. If he has a second half that duplicates the first half. That's there, and you could argue better than Carson's 05 season.
Yeah, and I think he's team record yards completions, which would beat the 07 marks, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He would tie for touchdowns in 30 with 32 because he's got 16 right now. And, I mean, completion percentage, you're up there. Passer rating would only be two behind Carson's 05 season. I mean, we're talking Bengals history, people. For a guy that only, what, a month ago was, oh, my gosh, we need to sign Josh Freeman, was the call from fans.
They're still beating the crap out of
him. There are still haters out there. Although I'd pretty much assimilate those to those that are still hating on Mick Cronin. It's just always going to happen. It doesn't matter how many tournaments he takes them to or how many games they win. It's the same thing with Andy Dalton. I think that there'll always be something there for whatever reason that people will always hate on Andy.
Well, you got to get to January.
That's true.
You got to win a playoff game.
And you wrote about this, Joe. Though you said you know. This is the checking off of the boxes continues. It's checking off of the big win on the road, checking off the winning the game with your arm, now checking off of the blowout. Really, for Andy Dalton, assuming he doesn't fall apart over the next 2 months, the only box remaining is the playoff box.
And that's a box for this entire team.
That's true. And the coach.
Yes. The coach who passed Jim Morris Sr. yesterday for – most games coached with one team and without a postseason win.
Coach Lucci.
Yep, which I wonder if somebody showed him that stat before the game, and that got Marvin even more fired up to put the beat down on Rexy.
I'm sure it did. It's been a heck of a first half, and I don't know if you lined us all up before the season and said, will they be 6-2
at
the halfway point? I don't think I would have had that. Did you have that? You did have 6-2.
I did have 6-2, but I had losses to Green Bay and New England.
Yeah, it was an odd way to end up at 6-2, and to be 6-2, and run through Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Brady, Stafford. Boy. You are sitting pretty at this point, and you start thinking now about how quickly can we close this division out. That's the Bengals' thought process right now. You have a game against Miami on Thursday, and then following that, another road game at Baltimore. Baltimore has the Browns. They are 2.5 games back, and they're really the only contender at this point. The Browns appear to be doing Brown things, and the Steelers are in the who-are-we-going-to-blame-for-this dumpster fire mode. The Ravens are the only team that could possibly come back, and you can all but smash them away. You can all but end this division, maybe, depending on the results, in Baltimore in 2 weeks.
Mortal Kombat game.
It is. Finish them. Absolutely.
But, and you know me, I always have to throw the butts in there.
You are, yes.
2 years ago, team was 6-2, and they started a challenging division run. I think this team starts to realize as good as you can be, in a matter of a couple weeks, it can start to filter away. And at the beginning of the year, when I did the 16-game projection, I've got the next two as losses.
Yeah,
I think Miami's going to be extremely challenging. Baltimore, you get to win at Cleveland. It's down to 1.5 or 1 if the Bengals lose. You could be from 2.5 to half a game if somehow the Bengals drop the next two and Ravens win the next two.
Yep.
So it can quickly turn in a matter of time, or you know, Cleveland helps out by beating Baltimore and Bengals win at Miami, and all of a sudden you're 7-2 and
3.5 games up.
Yeah, and life is good.
Yeah, and really, you mentioned 11. You could even date back to 09 after that win against the Steelers in Pittsburgh, that 18-12 slobber knocker that felt like this team is the real deal type of win, and the season, the whole season just faded at that point. They were exposed offensively and never really regained that moment. It was a clear early peak. I don't get the feeling from this team though the way they've been building this year, that this is an early peak moment. This team seems to feel different than those even did.
It's not an early peak moment, Paul, but this is one of the last teams to get a bye. You're going into a Thursday night. Granted, you're only going to have two games in November, which I'm shocked saying that.
Yeah.
Let's mention it again. They have only two games in the month of November.
Yeah.
You start to hit some favorable rest time, but it's still a challenge. Miami on a Thursday night. You go to Baltimore, where they've struggled the past couple years. You've got Cleveland coming here in the second part of the home and home battle of Ohio. And who knows what the Browns are going to be at that point? Who knows if Jason Campbell and Brandon Whedon both get hurt and they're at quarterback number 21 by that time, or who else gets hurt, or what have you. And then all of a sudden, you've got the bye week, and you're facing the prospect of three out of your last five are at home.
Mm-hmm.
Three out of your last four are at home after going to San Diego,
where you are currently undefeated 4-0.
Yes, for the first time since the Super Bowl year of 1988.
Yep.
And you start looking at that. Minnesota, who knows if Leslie Frazier is going to be the head coach by that time. Indy's going to be a hell of a game. I mean, all props to CBS for protecting that so it doesn't go to an 8:30 on...
Yes, the Scribes, thank you.
Yes, the Scribes, thank you. the Scribes are really rooting for Pittsburgh to keep losing a couple more that maybe NBC in its infinite wisdom will go, you know what, we really don't want that Week 15 Bengals game, and we'll go that way. The Scribes are not rooting, though, that all of a sudden they go, yeah, we're going to take that Pittsburgh game away, but we're going to do San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego moves to a late night tilt. Oh, no sleep.
No, there'll be sleep because we ain't going to be able to make that red eye on the way back.
Yeah, let's not even discuss that possibility. Let's not even discuss that. That's looking
like
a very fun
game. An extra night in San Diego?
I'll
take that.
Yeah. They're kind of taking the beginning away from us by sticking it on Thanksgiving weekends. Maybe we can steal one on the back end. I like this. That will be San Diego and Indy really looking like the most entertaining games left on the schedule for sure. Two pretty legit squads there.
Yeah. And
I think
the only thing that would prevent a flex there is that the Sunday night game is the Giants and Redskins, and if the Giants get on a run, that would make things interesting. But even though both teams are lousy, do you take away two of the top TV markets for Bengals and San Diego? Glad I'm not a network exec.
Well, we're looking forward here, but I think we've got to have some fun and look backwards. And Joe, in the preseason, we featured Rosterology. And as you know, we had a delightful theme song that we love to do with Rosterology.
Are we bringing it back?
I think we've got to bring it back. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Happy Year Awards on Scribe Session. That's right. We're going to run through all the awards for the Bengals' first half of the season, starting off with the team MVP. All right, I'll lose my Ron Roddy voice, although I could probably go on all day with that. Of course, you know, anytime we can roll in the Match of the Day music, it's always
British polka.
The British polka on Scribe Session. That's what we stand for, really. So let's do it. Let's do the half-year awards. Let's hand them out. For you, team MVP, who you giving it to, Joe?
Andy Dalton in a romp. I mean, he's taking a team on his shoulders, playing well. People like it or not, he's a face of the franchise, and he's been on a nice run during this win streak.
Yeah, I'd agree. And that's the thing is, for me, you're talking about MVP. He's been the difference between good and great with this team. When he's been great, the team has been great. And, you know, you could argue... You could argue A.J. Green, because you can always argue A.J. Green, but I feel like, as we said earlier, Dalton's ability to develop trust in everybody else on the roster has been what's made this team great. So I'd agree. I think you're right. I think Dalton's the MVP through the first half.
Thing that might be shocking is in the three years that AJ Green's been here for the yearly PFWA awards, AJ might not be an MVP any of his first 3 years.
Yeah, which is really difficult to. That almost is one of those that I can't even believe. So we should be ashamed of ourselves. But really, it's never really made sense. But man, it's hard to believe. You're right though.
Yeah, because Andy was MVP year one.
Mm-hmm.
Either that, or we may have to go co-MVPs. That'll be a discussion for another day.
It will be. We'll see. I mean, with eight more games.
Oh, we'll see.
We will see. The bottom line is they go hand in hand so much, a lot of times it's hard to pick between the two of them. Let's keep going. Let's go with most valuable coach. Who on this staff, including Marvin, would you nominate for most valuable coach at this point?
I'm going to go against the grain and go Ken Zampezi.
Going QB's coach.
Yes, because Ken's mentality is almost like Andy's. He's very even-keeled. He has an intensity about him when he wants to be. But I think when you talk about the development of a quarterback and stuff, yeah, Jay's had a lot to do with it. But Kenny's the guy who works with him a lot, too, and kind of keeps him on even keel and assesses his strengths and weaknesses. And he did a good job with Carson, and he's doing a good job with Andy.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Mike Zimmer. You know, you look at what he's had to do, the tasks put in front of him this first half of the season between Rodgers and Brady and Stafford. And really, you can argue Stafford went off a little bit, but a lot of that was just throwing it up to Calvin Johnson. I mean, I think he's done as good of a job as any coach could against a just rigorous slate of quarterbacks to have to try and find a way to stop. He has dialed it up. The game, really the New England game alone, you could argue he deserves it on for what he was able to do to snap Tom Brady's streak. Zimmer's been, he's been as good as he's ever been and just absolutely cruising for that head coach job that somebody has to hire him for at this point.
Which maybe in Tampa Bay, being as though 2 years ago they screwed that up as royally as
maybe they go could. But do they go back and fix their mistake? I mean,
well, you got to think Tampa Bay's got to go with a new GM also, yeah. Which Dominic ain't going to be making that call again. I mean, his last two head coach hires have been dreadful.
Absolutely dreadful. Yeah, you're right. You're right. If anybody needs a clean house, it's Tampa. They're a franchise in despair. But we are not here to talk about Tampa, thankfully. This would be a pretty sad, sad show. So let's keep on going here. I've got one that we have to list as an award, but we all know who it's going to be. Breakout performer this year, I think we know who it is. Right, Joe?
Marvin Jones.
Yes, it's got to be Marvin. I mean, we talked about it so much earlier, we don't need to go too much more into it. But, you know, everyone was casting Mo Sanu as the breakout guy on this team, the one that was going to really set him apart. It's been number 82, man. I mean, he's been incredible, and clearly the chemistry between him and Andy Dalton could really set this offense apart. Let's go Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year. Who are you going for?
Giovanni Bernard.
Yeah.
I think what he did early in the season, even what he's done now, I think 3 out of 5 games with 5 receptions or more, kind of giving this running game another dynamic. I think run game the last 3-4 games maybe struggled a little bit, but with rookies that happens. But he's becoming a different element, and this offense is doing something that it never used to do, where, you know, depending on the hot hand and stuff, they might do some running back switches in mid-series and everything.
Yeah, no, you're right. And really, the threat that he provides out of the backfield has been a really just another weapon that teams have to think about. And the teams that have trouble with linebackers in coverage, Buffalo, have been exposed by it. And it's been a huge difference maker for the team. Gio,
what about
been,
Pittsburgh, the Monday night game?
As well, yeah, well. Do you even count that as in coverage? I mean, they couldn't put anybody within 10 yards of him at one point on his touchdown run. But you're right, though. I mean, it's just his ability to exploit that has gone a long way to setting things apart. We already talked about Dalton as MVP, so I won't have a spoiler for our Offensive Player of the Year. That's him. Defensive Player of the Year. Who's your Defensive Player of the Year on the team right now?
I'm going Carlos Dunlap. I think had some concerns about him beginning of the year with the contract and the fact that he was injured most of the preseason, but I think the contract's almost freed him up or liberated him or empowered him or something. I don't know, but he's becoming that guy we all thought that after his rookie year he would be.
As you saw if you read my story out a couple weeks ago, he's like a vampire. He's like a dog, as he told me. He wants more. They gave him a little taste, and he wants more. Which I loved about that was when I said, "You want more, like production or money?" He said, "Both." The man wants more, you know. And if that's what makes him play like this, then I think the Bengals are looking like they've got a steal on their hands. He has been great, but I will say this: I have to give it to Vontaze Burfict, who has played through pain. It seems every game he's playing through something, leading the league in tackles at this point, which, say what you want to of the tackle stat. More importantly, taking over the calls and the centerpiece of the nickel packages, I think, has been a huge difference in making Ray Maluga better and in making Vontaze Burfict that much more valuable and solidifying this defense on third downs. And the way he gets to the ball, now a lot of it is that defensive line freeing him up, but the way he gets to the ball, reads offenses, his instincts, I think have really helped set this defense apart and allow Mike Zimmer to do more things with other guys because he trusts Burfict to make the plays. And, you know, that he put a lot on a young guy at the beginning of this season. I don't know that, you know, even he himself has admitted I was a little – not nervous, but wondering how he would handle all the extra responsibility. Boy, has he ever handled it. I mean, outside of the personal fouls and the outbursts that you maybe worry about, he plays with a chip on his shoulder, and it's one that this defense really kind of plays with as well.
I think the most interesting development of the offseason, because I overlooked this in 600 pages of collective bargaining agreement info, is that with undrafted guys, you can actually negotiate the contract after the second year. Mm. So I think this team does, but, you know, how much of a bump up in salary does he get in a offseason where you're talking with Dalton and Green, and you should be able to get something done with Burfict too, but just what is his market value right now?
Yeah, that is interesting. He's under contract, though, right?
Yeah, he's under contract through 2014, but yeah. Because he's an undrafted, you can negotiate going into the final year of that contract.
He's handled the responsibility. He's been less concerned about his image this year, and you've seen those hints of those things from Arizona State, but the coaches still love him. You wonder what giving money to a guy like that would do, if that would – shake the boat a little bit, if that's a good thing or not. I don't know. That's maybe an off-season scribe session we could really delve into.
But it's also one of those that when you look at free agency and stuff, they don't have a lot of guys do it. Taylor Mays is going to be one of them that they've got to decide about, and there's others that, you know, do you or don't you. Mm-hmm. But Burfict and Dalton and Green on the renegotiates going into last year of Dalton and Burfict, and then you can pick up an option on AJ, but how soon do you put him up in the Megatron Fitzgerald stratosphere of contracts?
Yeah.
You're going to have room next year. So how they navigate all that, I think, is for another date and time.
Let's go a couple more first half of your awards that I want to do. Most entertaining game, which I have been – this one has been in my head since last week when I wrote about how entertaining the games had been. Which one of the first eight was the most entertaining for you?
I'll go Green Bay still.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they were behind, rallied, won, defense was winded, got their second wind, offense was able to rally and come back. Kind of the beginning of the whole Marvin Jones thing. Caught a key touchdown in that game.
Yeah.
That we all kind of forget about. And I mean, look at it this way. Aaron Rodgers was the last guy to score an offensive touchdown in this stadium in a home game.
Yeah.
For a visitor right now.
Wow. That's hard to believe. That game was – that game was fairly crazy, that which sparked the crazy podcast, which, okay, Brittany, we'll let you. Crazy! We can't let a podcast go by or we don't get some bad tweet music in there. We have just to remind you that we're still, you never really know what we're going to do.
But we're still us.
We're still us. I will say, I got to go Detroit. I thought the Detroit game with the Megatron AJ one-on-one and the Holy Megatron play. Oh, yes, the Holy Megatron play, which brings out the Gregorian chants. This is kind of a good chance to recap everything that we've been going through this year. Yes, the Holy Megatron play.
Which when I mentioned Gregorian chants, you still looked at me strange that day.
Like, I did. I didn't know where you were going with that. I mean, listen to it. It's ridiculous. But now it's kind of grown on me a little bit, you know? It's just creepy enough that it kind of grows on you like a fungus. I got to go Detroit, though. I got to think between everything that happened, the ups and downs, and eventually the shanked punt and the 54-yarder by Nugent to win it on the road, a game where Dalton really broke out. I just thought there was so much that happened in that game, so much back and forth, so many plays that made you say, wow, that was crazy. I'm going with Detroit, but it's close. I mean, you could throw New England in there. With the crazy monsoon at the end, snapping Tom Brady's streak. I mean, Buffalo, the Thad Lewis show. I mean, that game was insane, too, as far as the entertaining
value. Or the yak show for the Bengals receivers.
Yes, a lot of yak. I mean, there has been a number of great games to this point. It's been fun to watch. And really, for a hardcore Bengals fan, I gotta imagine Sunday was pretty enjoyable and entertaining to romp over the Jets 49-9. So the King of the Road restaurant rankings for what do you think has been the best road trip to this point?
I think the fun that we had separately for the Buffalo one,
yes,
was classic.
That was a good trip.
Yeah.
I went to Rick James's grave, which was awesome.
I saw Zach Kolaris. I'm still waiting to edit that video. Yeah. Which,
one of these days.
Yeah, maybe Grey Cup week. If Toronto's still alive, I'll get to that. But Joe, it's 60 degrees outside.
But yeah, but I think Buffalo has probably been the best trip. Just get, you know, with the Pearl Jam concert, you going over to the hockey game, you saw people get arrested on the bridge. You know, the game was a pretty good time as well. I would say that's probably up there. Although Chicago's such a great city, but it wasn't as eventful as the Buffalo trip was.
But I mean, raising a city in Atlanta,
yeah,
still as far as
best restaurant we've gone to, so far.
Yeah, that we've gone to since.
Yes. Well, now, also, Cleveland, we went to, what was the name of that place?
The Barley House.
The Barley House that didn't know who it was. Didn't know who it was, and then Pitbull showed up.
Yes.
So we really, you know, it sort of goes both ways.
And teaching people how to play blackjack.
Yeah, well. You can't be bitter about that anymore. We came up ahead on that night.
Yes, we did.
But no, it's been a very eventful first half of the season, and is going to turn out to be a very eventful second half of the season, without doubt, assuming we can survive this 96-hour bender.
Yes, it'll be an eventful one. Tomorrow, don't forget to join us for Cincinnati.com Sports Presents Beyond the Stripes with Paul Daugherty, presented by JosephAuto.com with
Chris Crocker.
Yes.
Latest person to experience the BTS bump. So we'll have Crocker on and talk about his pick six and his days in this off season working out as a referee and trying to get into broadcasting and thinking about his post-football career. I'm really looking forward to it. I love talking to Croc.
Yeah, we had great crowd on Tuesday. Hopefully we'll get a great crowd again this Tuesday. Get there early. Get your seats while you still can, and come join us. And, you know, if you guys want to buy us drinks afterwards, ooh, yeah, who are we to say no?
Yeah, I wouldn't say no to that at all. No, go ahead. Feel free, buy us drinks. Come up and talk to us. We'd love to chat with you. And if you enjoy it, if you listen to the podcast, I'll tell you right now, if you listen to the podcast, I'll buy you a drink.
Wow.
Yep, I'm putting it out there. If you listen to the podcast, this particular podcast, you come in on Tuesday, the show with Chris
Crocker. Do we have a phrase that pays?
Yeah, the phrase that pays is you come up and you mention
you come up and
mention the Katy Perry podcast, that you just mention it, then I will buy you a beer.
Or you come up and you just mention how much you love Roar. If you come out roaring to us,
ooh, I don't want to make people do that. It'll get concerning for me.
Yes,
I will absolutely. You come up, tell me that you listen to the Katy Perry podcast, and I will buy you a beer. You heard it here first. That's only for this Tuesday, though. The Chris Crocker edition of Beyond Stripes, presented by JustFoto.com at the Moorline Lager House. So come down, say hi afterwards. We'd love to talk to you, and I'll buy you a beer, apparently. I don't know why I did that, but I'm going to because I'm a man of my word. All right, so we'll wrap it up. We're going to Miami. We'll be back next week talking all about that trip and plenty more going on with a trip to Baltimore right in front of us. So, well, to go out, I mean, at this point, I feel like we're Bon Jovi people. I don't think you can deny that we're Bon Jovi people. And I think now that we have come halfway, it just feels like Living on a Prayer is the way that we need to go out tonight.
Were you even born when that song came out?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Yes, I was. And I love Bon Jovi, okay? I've been to Bon Jovi concerts, and I'm a big fan, okay?
The folks love Bon Jovi. Which is is a third straight week of
Mama Reedy.
Yes,
three in a row.
Yep,
three in a row for Mama Reedy. Hello, Mama Reedy. Hello, John Bon Jovi. We're gonna go out with that. We will obviously be back here next week. Subscribe session every Tuesday. Make sure you check out the blog at Joe Reedy on Twitter, at Lamar Jr. on Twitter. And you have a good night. Thanks to Bon Jovi.
Thank you, New Jersey. Good night.